Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Network, celebrating our third year on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Thank you for helping us become a number one rated live show with over 1 million global listeners. Our team is on a mission to help you discover your authentic best self and bring it to the world. And now, here's our show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Best Ever You Show. I'm your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. I live in Maine, and it is warm still. Just saying, it is warm still. We have no snow. We've got leaves on the trees, and I was out walking today, and it must be 65 degrees out here. It's so buzzed. We mowed the lawn yesterday, talking about that on Facebook. So, yeah, star date, you know, November, whatever it is, 6th now, and I'm mowing the lawn in Maine. Yep, all right. Anyway, just to clarify that. I hope you all are having a wonderful day. We've got the coolest guest. I've been waiting to have him on for so long, and he's here with us. Finally, he's live with us. We have Sean Prue with us. And, yeah, I can hear you in the background. He's there. Just say hi now. It's all good.
Love you. This has been like 900 years in the making. It's nice to be with you finally, Elizabeth.
It's very funny. It's like, okay, I can do this now. Baseball just takes me away, and everything with the kids and everything. And so the show kind of goes on hold. Everybody knows on Best Ever You, the show and my website and everything kind of go on hold over the summer. And we're all across the country and everything. And so I've got one of those jobs where I get my summers off. It's kind of fun.
Well, I got to give hats off and kudos to all the mothers and fathers out there, because I'm not a parent, but I do have a dog and I do have pets, and I make no comparison between the two directly, but they take up a lot of your time and they take up a lot of your energy. So I cannot imagine if my dog played baseball. I cannot imagine if my dog took dance classes. I could not imagine, like, it's like,
oh, you know,
I'll ask
you there, though. I think dogs and cats are, you know, kind of like little toddlers. I swear, I have four boys, and they're teenagers. They're 14, 16, and 18, and 20 now. And then we have a huge Labradoodle and three cats. And I'm telling you, the animals are girls, and the, you know, the kids are boys. But, you know, the animals are big babies.
They're big babies, and they you know, I always, when I feel myself making a comparison between my pets and children, I always qualify it the way I just did, because often some people will get quite offended that you're making a direct comparison. But having cleared that up, for me, my dogs are my children. My cat. Actually, this is so funny, because my cat has just passed as of Easter, and one of my dogs passed away on Tuesday at 16. And so I'm still talking about them in the present tense, which is, you know, goes to my point. Like, they're gone, and I'm still talking about them. So they're there.
Oh, they're the best. They are. We had a cat that died probably about 2 years ago now. And we went outside, my son and I and my husband, and we put a gray statue underneath our maple tree to honor the cat, because it was Cameron's cat and he loved the cat. And so we just put the statue under the tree. And he looked around and he goes, "Mom, there are little tiny maple trees all over the yard." And we kind of got down and we're like, "Oh my gosh." And so we dug up all of those maple trees. Kind of a long cat story here. We dug up all of those maple trees and planted them, and my son now has a thing he calls Garino Grove. He's got a maple tree grove.
Oh, and that's so wonderful.
Yeah, he has 3 years worth of trees and stuff. So, you know, we love our animals. I get you totally. So,
I mean, their love is unconditional, and you know, that's not a new concept that I've just launched into the world. Anyone who's had an animal knows that. But that's why they do hold such a place in our hearts. And I know from being a child, and I know from seeing children and parents, that love is not always unconditional. You know, it's just not.
<You're telling me.
laughs> Whereas with your animal,
college, it's like,
it is. It is. So, yes.
So tell me, I was looking at your website, which to everybody listening, I'm just going to spell it as shaunproulx www.bestevereu.ca. Tell me, what's your... I love your website, by the way. I love the way
Thank
it flows
you.
And moves and everything. It's cool. It's one of those new cool websites. what's your favorite thing on your website? Like, if you were going to tell somebody, hey, go to my website, what would you want them to see the most and learn from your website?
I would say, there's watch, listen, and read. I would say go to read because that's where you find almost every week a new post by me. And what I try and do in there is I try and share something that is of the moment that has happened in the last week in my life, where I kind of walk my talk about something I know that you and I are going to talk about this hour, about the thought revolution that I'm on a daily basis within my life. And I work very hard to be as open-hearted, often very vulnerably so, as possible, because I'm on a mission. Sounds like it's a spy thing or something, but I want people who would like the idea of having a life by their
I don't have a cool producer to play music, so that went in the background. Sorry, keep going.
I would like everybody who wants to live life by their own design the way I do to be able to, and for me, the reason I'm able to be my own boss, captain of my own ship, and lead a really happy, successful life with nobody telling me how to do it and what to do and when to do it. It's because I have put a lot of effort into what I call a thought revolution, which is thinking about your life the way you want it to be, and dealing with the problems that come up in your life in a way that serves you as opposed to a way that decimates you. So I've had a really rough year. This is a good time to look at that blog, because if you're listening and you've had a difficult year, my husband moved out in September, for example. I mentioned earlier about the loss of a couple of pets. Lots of intense experiences this year. And we all go through intense experiences every single day, and those things knock us down. They knock us off our path. They knock us out of our identity. They knock us out of believing that we can be, do, have anything. And I, as I said, I'm on a mission. I got to find a better word for that, but I am on a mission to show people that no matter what happens, no matter whatever happened to you, no matter what is happening to you, you can find a way to be happy. And you must find a way to be happy, because when you're happy, you line up the things that make you happy. And that's basically what goes on the whole site. But if you read the blog, there's a lot of pretty deep sharing there that I think people would enjoy.
It's interesting, because that's exactly what I clicked on first. I went right to read. I'm like, I wonder what he's writing about. And very first thing I'm reading here is about you leaving your microphone on.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did I do a lot of speaking, and so I spoke to a conference called Refresh Your Passion in Ottawa, Ontario, here in Canada. Ottawa is our capital city, 2 Sundays ago, and I told the group, the audience there, a story about another speaking gig I'd had where I had a headset on. And there was a sound guy, and he's the one who turns it on and off. I don't control it. If you've ever spoken, you know that. And so I did my speak, and I left the stage, and the producer grabbed me and said, oh, that was amazing. And we were walking to the green room, and we were talking. And I think I was at the speaker right before the lunch break or a break, because people were getting up from their seats. No speaker was following me, and they were getting up and getting their coats and stuff. Well, my mic was on still, and so everything I said to the producer on the way to the green room, the people in the audience could still hear. And
so was it? What a
luckily,
great audience! Hopefully,
yeah. Can you imagine? I'm like,
audience,
did you
love them.
See what she was wearing in the third row?
Oh,
that was
no.
Nasty. No, but luckily I was just like having a general chin wag.
Good.
But my point when I shared the story and the point that I would make to everybody listening right now as I share it again, is that your mic is always on. Your mic is on the way my mic was on that day. And you might not have a physical headset on the way I did that day, but you are broadcasting all day, every day, in every conversation that you have, in every post you put out on social media, in every thought that you think, in every kind of gesture. You're a broadcaster. You're a transmitter. And life, the universe, God, light, source, Buddha, whatever you want to call it, it hears you and it responds to what you are emitting. So that's why I call it a thought revolution, because it's your thoughts that are being broadcast out into the world and responded to, and life is giving you more of what you're thinking about, talking about, broadcasting. And so if you're not happy with your life, or if you're not happy with a subject in your life, finances, health, your well-being, relationships, you've got to have a thought revolution about that, because the reason they're not going the way you'd like them to go is because you're in the chat groups and you're complaining about your money situation. You're complaining about your money situation to your mate. You're complaining about your money situation to your friends. You're worried about your money situation. You're lying in bed thinking about your money situation in a negative, lack conscious way. And so your mic is always on. And that was the message I was putting out to the audience that day, that I wrote about in this blog post. And the universe is responding to what it is you're thinking about. And your choice point is always right now in this red hot minute to put out and broadcast what it is you want more of. The universe is a yes-based universe, and it always just says yes to whatever you're thinking about. It doesn't go, well, Sean doesn't actually want to not have money, so, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't
you might think it does, but it doesn't.
Just, yeah. I mean, it's like that. I had Oprah Winfrey on my SiriusXM talk show, and she put it really well. She said, you cannot tune in to 167 SiriusXM if you want to hear something that's on 168. You got to dial into 168. You can't dial into the news channel when you want to see the sports channel. You've got to match your signals up. And I thought that was a very good example of what I'm saying, which is that you've got to be broadcasting what you want, because the universe is trying to dial into you. And when it does find your signal, it matches you and gives you back what you are thinking about, whether you want it or not.
Powerful. I must have needed that too, because, you know, I think that too, you click on, for some reason, you click on what you need to read and hear. It's always interesting to me. I find that remarkable, to just kind of be clicking around and be like, I must have needed that today. And I love what you just said, so eloquently put. As you were talking, one of the things that I was thinking about was, how did you arrive at where you are right now? What did you do? Have you always been this way since, like, you know, you were in kindergarten? Have you always been a speaker?
That is the question that I get. I get that question asked of me the most, because, just a small bit of background for people who are hearing me for the first time. I have a grade 12 education. I didn't go to post-secondary school, no university, no college. I've never had training in radio. I have had a television show. I've never had a TV training course, never taking a writing course, never taking a speaking course. And so people are often like, so how is it that you're standing up here now telling us all these great ideas on how to make life better? And I feel like I have always been an optimist. You asked me, was I like this in kindergarten? I was always an optimist, even in the most trying times. And I grew up in the 80s in rural Ontario in farm country. And my childhood was very kind of it gets better type of thing without the cyberbullying. It was just physical bullying and verbal bullying and emotional bullying by kids in, you know, rural kids, farm kids who could not understand this flamboyant gay kid that they had to ride a bus with. And I would get off that school bus, that yellow school bus on the country roads every single day, day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out. And it was hard to get off the bus without things whipping past your head, pop cans, whatever they could get their heads on, trying to avoid being tripped, pushed, named, spit, everything. It was brutal. And my dad, who's passed away now, God love him, was an alcoholic. And he didn't understand me either. He did not like gay people, and he knew I was gay, and so my situation as a young kid was stressful and anxiety filled, and I would get off the bus, and I would have about a 3/4 mile walk to my house down this country road, and I would walk that whole walk, and I would say to myself, one less day. You got through another day, one less day, one less day. And there was nothing in me that was saying, oh, Sean, you got to figure out a good way to frame this. And what's an affirmation you could, but I knew intrinsically to affirm to myself that it will get better. You have one less day because you're not always going to be going home to a father who causes a lot of things in the home. That's going to end one day soon. You're not always going to be in school. So I always knew intrinsically to focus on what I wanted. I knew even as a boy that my mic was on. And so through the years that passed, I've managed to create a very happy life for myself. And people are often asking me, knowing what they do, about the fact that I've got no education, I've got no, sort of qualification to be doing what I'm doing, but yet I am. I'm interviewing Oprah. They're like, how did you do that? And that's why I'm big on this, again, mission of Thought
you're
Revolution.
You.
Because I'm
you're
just doing
hard.
Me.
Yep.
Oh, well, I'm doing me, but you know what? Everybody out there can do them. And that's what we get so caught up on all of these obstacles and things that are in our way. And do I have enough education? And what would happen if I quit my job and went after my dream career? And we hold ourselves back, and we ask, who do I think I am? And what right do I have to be happy? And I want to be the guy, the light, who says, you've got every right to be happy. And the world needs your special gift. And you need to stand up and you need to rethink whatever it is that's holding you back, because you can be and do and have anything that you want in this world. And I'm your proof. I'm the proof.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. And, you know, I think we all experience that, too, at different levels as we're growing and changing and trying to achieve and so forth. I think I have a couple questions for you. But the first one is, I think it's easy, especially when you're in a creative industry, like writing a book or being a radio host or, you know, whatever it is, to get easily down on yourself, like you're not doing well enough. You can have 2 million downloads and go, gosh, that's not good enough, you know, or whatever.
No, yes, it's
and,
so
I
true.
Mean, I get, yeah, but I, you know, I get down on myself. Honestly, I'll go, my book isn't selling that well. And darn it, you know, yeah. And I'll go, what kind of degree did I need to have to write that so people, you know, really loved it? And you question yourself all the time. What do you do when you question yourself and feel
well, so
less
I'm going to pretend that I'm you. I'm going to pretend that I'm you right now. So my book isn't selling very well. You're broadcasting, right? Your mic is on,
yes.
And you're saying my book isn't selling very well. So guess what you've just invited more of, but my book isn't selling
around.
Very
Thank
well.
You.
So you need to have a thought revolution about
exactly.
that. And say, hey, I wrote a book, and people have bought this book. This book is in the homes of many people. And I'm going to just stop for a second, and before I get out of bed, I'm going to say thank you to all the people in my mind. I'm picturing all these people who went and bought my book. I really appreciate that I'm doing what I love. I really appreciate that I get to sit down and write another book whenever I want, and that people will buy it. People have been buying my book. And I don't know how many people are still waiting to buy that book. I don't know how many people may never buy that book. But I just want to say thank you right now to the people who have bought that book, because people bought that book. And focus on that, right? Now we're
yep.
talking about the people that and watch the
More.
Email, the Facebook post, or whatever come in within moments of that, where someone's like, hey, you don't know me, but I just bought your book. The universe wants you to do well. But the universe is yes-based, so it's going to say yes to whether you're saying people bought my book or whether you're saying nobody's buying my book. And for example, in my own life, For a long time, I used to focus on a lot of numbers too. And as an example, I get a report on Mondays, hey, here are the people who signed up for your newsletter. Here are the people that have unsubscribed from your newsletter. And I was always like going right to the unsubscribe number. I was always looking, there are people who signed up, and I was ignoring
my mom
those people.
Unsubscribed. It's like, really?
What's that?
I said, especially when you see who it is, you're just like, my mom? Really? She unsubscribed?
Yeah, mom, come on. You,
really,
yeah.
Mom?
My whole family.
My mom's awesome.
No, but so this is what I had to do, and this is an old story. But when people, when the list comes in and I see the side that people have subscribed, I'm like, oh, Pamela, thank you for subscribing. James, thank you for subscribing. Bill, thanks for subscribing. I go down and I literally thank everybody. And then I'm going down like, Patty, I wish you well. Bob, I wish you well. Brian, I wish you well. And so it's just this even energy expansion when I look at that list. Welcome into the tribe. Oh, you're leaving now. This doesn't serve you anymore. I wish you well. There's no negative energy. And it may sound sort of, if someone's listening to this going, God, it's just your newsletter. But it's a big thing for us, this newsletter that we put out. And you want people to be, you know, as you said, buying your book. I want people to be on my list. So it doesn't matter what you're looking at, whether it is your kid's report card or the amount of money in your bank, bless those numbers, bless those grades, say thank you for those things. And watch the universe give you more of what you want.
That's great advice. And just to talk a little bit about your newsletter, for real, you know how sometimes you feel like I just talking to the audience here for a second. You know how sometimes you feel like things, like you're afraid to subscribe? I want to just encourage you to not be afraid to subscribe to Sean's newsletters, because they're awesome. There, you get when you sign up. Actually, Sean, can you explain a little bit? You get a choice of which ones you want.
We've got a bunch. The one that is the most popular is the Thought Revolution newsletter, and that's just something that pops into your email box Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, and it's mostly a tease. It'll pop you over into the section of the blog that on my website that we're just talking about, where I'm talking open-heartedly about what's gone on in my life, and it's your daily dose, or your weekly dose rather, of inspiration heading into the weekend, where you can just sort of relax and take a look at your own life by looking at mine and me sharing of what's going on with me. Hopefully, you said it a minute ago, Elizabeth. Oh, I really needed to hear that. What I do when I'm writing my blogs is I put myself out there quite a lot. But what happens is people write in and said, I needed to hear that today. And so every Thursday, my aim is for something to show up in your inbox where you're like, oh my God, I needed to hear that today. And I think that's one of the things that I bank on a lot by sharing so much of my own life, is that I know other people are going through stuff that I've gone through. Like, I was very hesitant, you know, my husband moved out in September, to share that stuff, but I was having to have a thought revolution and figure out the positives in a very negative situation. And when I wrote about that, many, many, many people wrote back right away and said, oh my God, you don't understand. My partner just filed for divorce. My wife just told me she's leaving me. And so you put this stuff out there, as I do, and people are like, thank you, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle this, and you've given me some tools. One of the best things that ever happened, Elizabeth, was earlier this year. My dad, as I mentioned, was an alcoholic, and he passed many, many years ago. And I've never had peace about him and my relationship with him until very recently, because, again, thought revolution. I did a rethink about this entire relationship. And I shared that in one of the Thought Revolution newsletters. And somebody wrote to me from Africa, and they said, you have just solved one of the greatest mysteries of my life. I cannot stop crying. My dad was just like yours. And ever since he died, I've had an empty place in my heart about it. And you have helped me see a different way of handling this. And you've changed everything about this relationship I have with my late father. And that's the work that we're doing, and that's what we're putting out every Thursday. And I enjoy very much touching people and finding out that, you know, through sharing my own experience, people are able to work through theirs.
Can I go back to the bus ride for a minute?
Go back to that bus ride, girl.
I know. I got to go back there for a minute. What, you know, you were mentioning getting off buses and people throwing stuff at you and things like that. And I've had that kind of girl hate before when I was a kid. You know, how girls hate on each other, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And thrown at me, too, and all that stuff. And I'm wondering if social media had existed back then. And I don't mean back then, like, you know, it was like the 1800s or anything, sorry.
It was the 80s, though.
It was the 80s, though. But if social media had existed back then, what do you think people would have done to you on social media? And what do you think people are experiencing these days on social media? Like,
I think what I would have experienced would have been what so many kids and straight, gay, trans, everybody's being bullied on social media.
Everybody.
I think I would have been called the F word. I think I would have had probably a harder time. I feel that the rise of social media and what I call computer courage, which is a completely lacking of courage. We all hide behind, well, not all of us, but people hide behind their computers and their keyboards, and they've got such great things to say that they would never say to your face. Well, at least these kids in the 80s said it to my face. So I think I would have had a very parallel experience to what so many unfortunate children are having to go through today. But the one thing I want to say about all of this sort of stuff is that nobody is hurting more in a bullying situation than the one doing the bullying.
Isn't that wild how that is, really?
That is the truth. The kid
love.
Who is hurting the most.
Most.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's like, this is a story about girls again, I was sitting outside my son's swim class, and there were three girls talking, and they were saying, you know, Sarah, kind of thing, like, Sarah just doesn't like us. Sarah doesn't talk to us. Sarah's mean to us. Sarah, you know, all these things about, you know, this girl, whoever she was. And I actually interrupted, and I said, have you guys ever thought to just stop for a second and think about Sarah? Maybe Sarah's got a bad home life, or Sarah doesn't feel well, or Sarah's struggling in school, or anything. Have any of you guys ever asked Sarah before you're talking to, you know, I said, you know, just a thought from a really older person, and they were like, that's really great. They actually stopped and said, that's actually really great advice. They were open to hearing it, and it was interesting. And then one of the girls said, I've got this, and an hour-long conversation with these three girls followed. My son was late coming home from swimming. He's dripping wet, going, can we go home now? Like, I'm talking, you know. But it was such an interesting conversation to see how everybody was sort of aching in their own way and how it was coming out.
It's brilliant that you were able to inspire a conversation like that. I feel like, you know, I don't believe in a source of evil. I don't believe in any evil. I do believe hate is taught. I do believe that lack of empathy, I do believe that lack of understanding are things that can be overcome. And I don't feel there's anybody who has ever born who deliberately chose to be ignorant, to be hateful, to be the way they are in those negative ways. I believe there's a lot of pain underneath all those sorts of things. And there's really nothing worse, I don't think, than not understanding someone to the point where you despise them and you want them gone, or you want them hurt in some way. The underlying sort of roots of that kind of stuff, it's gross, because it means that stuff was happening in your home. You were taught certain things that are so contrarian to what I know we are all about, which is love. And so to be taught the opposite of love, to be taught that some people are not worthy of love, is so counter what I know we're all about, that if you're that person carrying all that around in you, that's a lot of ugly stuff. So those kids on the school bus who were throwing things at me, they couldn't fathom me out. They couldn't figure me out. And I was too different for them to understand. And they were in more pain than I ever would have been going through that. I mean, of course, now I'm looking at it through the eyes of a 47-year-old, you know, 30 years after it's happened. But I can see that now. And I've been getting I've often gotten hate mail and all kinds of things.
Oh, join the club. We all get that. But
yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
anyone who opens their mouth, yes.
Hell.
In
yeah.
February, Caitlyn Jenner is coming to Toronto to do a speech, and I get the honor of introducing the evening. And so there's some promotion going on around that, and of course. The Caitlyn Jenner haters are emailing and texting me and stuff. And there's one person who continually keeps saying, there's no such thing as Caitlyn Jenner. He is Bruce Jenner. That's all there is to it. And he keeps repeating, it's a tweet. He keeps tweeting and tweeting and tweeting this. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what your problem is, but you have a big problem with this transgender person. And I'm sorry, but we may not have known what transgender was many years ago, but we do now, and it's part of the evolution of the world. And I feel sorry for you that you are so resistant to the growth and expansion that's going on in our society, because it is happening. Sorry, dude, it's happening whether you like it or not. So you can resist it or not, but your resistance is going to hold you back from every other thing, because your mic is always on. So as you resist Caitlyn Jenner and you resist and you put out that hate, you're getting a lot of stuff back into your life that matches that. It may not be about those issues, but you're not living a positive, beautiful, productive life in which you're manifesting good things when you're broadcasting that stuff. So I feel more sorry for you as the bully than I do for Caitlyn Jenner or for me as the recipient of your tweets. You're the one who's in more pain than any of us combined.
Yeah, there's a quality of peace that's unmatched there. It's quite interesting to watch the whole. I don't know what the word, just the whole transformation into Caitlyn Jenner and everything. It's just peace is the word that comes to mind throughout the whole.
And authenticity.
Everything I think peace, inner peace, peace, peace.
Yeah.
So why I keep doing that, but that's what comes to mind to me.
I think it's a great word because the peace that is on display with many trans people that I have known and I've interviewed and told their stories for over a decade now, it's because they're living authentic lives. They're best ever you. This is their best ever them. And they the courage and determination and bravery and tenacity that all trans people that I know have displayed, it makes them a hero to me, because, you know, I can't think of anything more dramatic or massive an undertaking than to change your gender the way that many do, so that they can feel as authentic as possible. And I think when they reach that place where they feel authentic, that's when we see what you call peace. And what I agree is peaceful. It's this contentment. Now I am me, and which I think we're all reaching for ultimately.
Yeah. In whoever we are and what we're doing, you know, we're all trying to strive for some peace. It's pretty hectic out there, and I agree with you. I think a lot of people ache, and I think I love this thought revolution. Can we go there for a little bit and talk about your radio show, and talk about all the people that you interview? Your radio show is so cool.
I'm so glad you like it. Well, you were a guest on it.
Yeah. No. Aside from that, I mean, I think what you do is so neat, and you can hear. Every time I listen to you, I hear such a compassion in your voice. It's just a really neat quality about you. I'm sure you know that already, and people have said that to you way more than I have. But there's such a quality of compassion and also peace in your voice. How'd you start your show? What's your show all about? Who'd you first interview? You know, all those kinds of questions. And who have you interviewed and why? And there's a million questions there. Microphone's on.
Well, I've interviewed Elizabeth. I got into radio probably about 8 or 9 years ago. I'd been on different radio shows, but a station opened up in Toronto called Proud FM, and it was the world's first terrestrial LGBT radio station, and so it was quite a historic thing. And I believed in myself. I believed that I'd be a good host. I believed that I had stories to tell, a point of view. I had experiences, and I'm curious about people. I find everybody interesting, whether they're a celebrity or whether they're just general public type of people. And so I banged on that door, and it took me 6 months, but I convinced them to give me a shot. And then there was no turning back. I loved being on the radio, and I left there after about 3 years, and I'm on Sirius XM now on a network called Canada Talks, which is a talk network featuring Canadian hosts. And my show airs on the weekends at 3 and 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays and 4 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. And I call it Thought Revolution Radio. I speak to all kinds of people, again, general public or celebrities, about their ideas on success and happiness. And so it's a show where if you tune into it, you're never going to hear anybody complaining. You're never going to hear anybody ranting and raving about what's going wrong in their life. And a really great example is on this weekend show, I have a girlfriend of mine who is trans. Her name is Samantha Lozon, and her her boyfriend attacked her a couple weekends ago, destroyed her condo, threw her computer off the 19th floor of her building, and left her with bruises on her face. And so now you're thinking, okay, Sean, you just said you don't have, negativity on your show. The reason I have her on the show is because she had a thought revolution off the top of this incident happening to her, that she was not going to sit around and lie in the misery of what had happened. She demonstrated a lot on social media, on her posts and stuff, such a positive outlook. And this is not going to hold her back, but I wanted to have her on the show because she had a real thought revolution. She had a choice. She knew what she was broadcasting. Her mic was on, and she was not going to invite more of this into her life by complaining about it, by telling everybody about it, by constantly going on and on about it. She was finding all the positives in it. And so it's that kind of show. And I've had everyone from Oprah to Tony Robbins, to Melissa Etheridge, to Cyndi Lauper, celebrity-wise, Lady Gaga, Liza Minnelli, Betty White, all kinds of really amazing people. Linda Gray is coming on the show really soon. Andrew Martin's been on the show. But also, I've spoken to, as I said, everyday people. I interviewed, one of my favorite interviews was a guy who got out of prison after serving 17 years for murder. And we talked about what he had learned. And he was just a young boy on drugs when he killed his friend, actually. And he was so high, he didn't really realize he'd even killed him. And we had a very compassionate and open-hearted, long conversation about what he was going to do now, what it was like to be back in Manhattan 17 years after he had been incarcerated. And so we'll have conversations with all kinds of people, because it's important for me to put out there that we all have the right to find happiness and to put examples out there, because people sometimes get a bit lost. And I think hearing, like, my friend Samantha tell her story, or hearing this guy coming out of jail, his hopeful story. And then, of course, icons like Oprah, for example, who have been trailblazing for all of us. continuing by sharing their stories. It's an honor for me to be able to just sit down for an hour every week and talk to whoever's coming along, and just keep putting out a hopeful message.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I love most about it too is it's not sensationalized radio to be popular. You know, every time I do a radio show too, I mean, my stance is, you know, this just needs to just be us chatting. Whatever you want to chat about, fine, but not, I don't like all the controversy and the saying things just to say them to get attention and, you know, all that stuff. I just don't function that way. I don't know. But I notice you don't either.
No, it doesn't ring true. And listen, I'm a colorful person, and I've got a liberal stance on things and a potty mouth, and I have lived a very colorful life. So I don't hold any of that stuff back. This is not an airy fairy, dainty little show where we're just all sort of like in our warm feathered nests and being Pollyannas.
Right.
It's real. It's a real show. It's hosted by a guy who's got, an edgy past, and it's authentic, and we have a lot of fun, and sometimes it's a really fun, good hour where people listening will just have a good laugh as we're talking. And then other times, I've definitely had people on where it's very emotional, hearing people's stories sometimes, and it's very gratifying when somebody will open their heart to you and share. Like, again, I'll go back to Samantha. And what she's just gone through at the hands of her now ex-boyfriend. Very, very. It's an honor to have her on my show and have her open her heart and tell her story so that other people can get hope from it. Very lucky to have a platform like this.
Yeah, I love shows like that, too. I think my shows that I like to do with that kind of same tone and depth are weight loss. I just
Yes.
absolutely love it when somebody comes on the show, and it's a story of just this transformation of I didn't feel healthy, or I had this health scare, or something set me in a path of health and well-being. And like I have this gal I've been working with since January, and she I first got introduced to her when she weighed 315 pounds, and she was crying.
Oh.
And she just was like, please, I just don't feel good and I need to do something. And she, as of yesterday, weighs 199 pounds.
Whoa,
she's
bravo.
Been working every single day.
Bravo.
But it's been such a blessing to see her change. And the very first change we made, everybody who loves Percolate, hang on, we made her stop drinking coffee in the quantity. I put the book down for a minute. But it was, it was interesting because she was drinking coffee, like 12, more cups of coffee with the cream, the sugar and all that per day. And we just made one change to what she was drinking, and that set off this incredible ripple effect of health.
Yes.
And
I can understand that.
Yeah, but it's just so cool. And I think I share my own yo-yo up and down, maybe not that dramatic, but with four pregnancies, gaining a ton of weight and then losing it, four times. And so and having food allergies and things. So I just love weight loss stories too. So anyway, how you were saying that you don't hold back and all that stuff. I just turned to your blog again. You use one of my favorite sayings, batshit crazy. It's just sometimes you have to flip out and go batshit crazy to make a point. I say batshit crazy all the time. Talk about batshit
crazy
for a minute, if you don't mind. Oh, I love that term.
I know there's something kind of you are just losing your shit. Now do you understand me? So yeah, I love it too. But there is a great reward. I know you're talking about the person who lost so much weight. I got a text from somebody, or rather a Facebook from somebody the other day, and he said, Sean, you know, you've been telling me I can do this. I don't have to hate my job. Since I was listening to I'm Proud of FM, and I'm just writing to tell you that I just started doing something. I'm still doing the job I have, but I've just started to put together this. It's a ski event, and he says, I put it together, and it's happening this year, and I just wanted to tell you I took your advice, and I'm believing in myself, and but the point is that I read that, and I was like, man, like that, I've been telling you can do something that you want to do for years, and bravo that you're doing it at last, but, you know, I just like, dude, like, you can do this, like, you know, people are afraid to step outside of their box. And I was astonished. I was pleased that he was doing something. And at last, but I thought, oh, dude, I've been telling you this for years that you could do something like this. It's a ski event. You're organizing it. It's wonderful. But the point is, he's so happy. But the point is, don't wait this long. Don't wait as long as this guy did. Just start today. You know, it might be a baby step, but it's better than standing still. Do something that pleases you in your life. And make your life all about yourself. And when you make your life all about yourself, you become your best ever you. And that's when you are the best self for everybody in your life. And that in itself, I know, is a thought revolution for a lot of people, because we put so many other people first before we put ourselves first. But I think it's time that we all just stop wasting time, you know, because it's not guaranteed. Tomorrow's not a promise, and your life is this now moment. It's not tomorrow, it's not what happened to you yesterday, it is this now moment. And what are you doing in this now moment, and how are you feeling? That's all that matters.
Yeah, and I think the reason why I brought up the flip out thing was because I love the title of the blog. It's Your Choice Is Now.
Yes.
And I think also sometimes when you're trying to make a change, people think you have gone, you know, BSC. That's what I call it.
Well,
BSC.
You know, because I can be, we could, you already said batshit crazy, so I know we can say batshit crazy.
We say batshit crazy. But people always get in your way as you're trying to make a, I didn't know if you wanted to say batshit crazy, so I coded it. But now that we've said it a million times, don't you think, though, when you're trying to make a change, there can be all sorts of people in the way. Like, I'll bet the guy who's hosting the ski event had a lot of naysayers around him going, you can't do that. What are you doing that for?
Absolutely. And here's what you got to just know, and this has probably been the biggest challenge for me as a sensitive guy who likes people. I've seen many, many people fall away. And I continue to see people fall away out of my life. And what I've come to understand is as follows. If you want to make changes in your life, positive changes for yourself, and you begin to make those changes, you start to evolve, you start to expand, and you start to grow. And so in the doing of that, you're no longer an energetic match to the people that you once were. You might just be a slight off match, or you might be a huge off match, but you're no longer a match. And that's when people, if they're not growing, you know, your circle of friends, your family, if they aren't growing too, or if they're growing at a snail's pace and you're suddenly like taking off like a rocket, you got to sort of be prepared for people to fall away. And falling away means pointing a finger at you and saying, who do you think you are? Or not liking your change, so they tell you can't do it. They discourage you. They are naysayers, to use your word. All of that is just about someone saying, hey, I liked you a lot better when you were a match, and you were a match because you and I just sat around doing nothing with our lives. And now you're doing something with your life, and I'm doing nothing. So I'm going to discourage you so that I keep you in my orbit. And you just have to make a decision, and I have to make this decision all the time. What's more important, that I stay in someone else's orbit so that they're happy, or I live my best life and am my best self, which might mean just wishing them well, but no longer necessarily having them around me. And it's not always pleasant. And in the beginning, when I was making personal changes and stuff, I took a lot of people's problems with what I was doing very personally. People don't like to see you change, and some people don't even like to see you succeed. But you have to decide, and your choice point is always now. what's more important, that I breathe my last breath looking back on my life saying, wow, I really milked that sucker called life dry. I did everything I could possibly do, and I wouldn't change a thing. Or to lie there and go, I have regrets. I wish I had tried. And I know what I would prefer. And the price that you pay is that the people in your life come and go, unless they are growing with you as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. I couldn't agree with that more. I was just as you were talking, I was looking at your picture. You're just so you're like so handsome and beautiful inside and out. Just so you know, I mean, you're just absolutely gorgeous. I don't know if anybody has seen his picture or anything.
Will you marry me?
Yeah, would you marry me? No, I mean, he's just hot. So let's talk a little about what do you do to be your best for anybody listening who might be like, yeah, you're right, he is hot. Sorry if I made you red and blush. Do you work out?
Luckily, it's just me and my dog sitting here.
I hear you. I got a cat over here.
I will say I eat really well. I mean, I'm not an angel with it. I certainly love my Doritos and I love my chocolate and stuff and I love my alcohol. I love a martini, but I do I eat organic, and I juice, and I do smoothies with all those sort of superfood protein powders in it, and I try and eat almost all organic, and so that is something that I began doing a couple of years ago, and it's made a huge difference in weight, in energy, and that kind of thing. But the biggest thing that I do is the Thought Revolution work that I talk about on shampoo.ca, which is just constantly waking up in the morning and before I get out of bed, feeling the energy of the day and saying thank you for what lies ahead. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this dog who's trying to get me out of bed so I can feed her. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And setting the tone for the day and journaling after I've made my first cup of coffee and writing down everything that is working well for me, everything that I appreciate, all the things that I love about my life, setting the tone for the day. Those are sort of the most powerful things that I do, is just to live in a space of appreciation and start each day really saying, you know, no matter where I'm going, no matter what I'm doing, no matter who I'm with, it's my dominant intention to look for things and to speak of things and to notice things that I appreciate so that I get more things to appreciate. And it's really about having that control over your life. So when you ask me sort of those, daily things that I do, it's just sort of good eating and good feeding of my mind as well and my thoughts.
And just general hotness, right? Is what it is, isn't it? I get it. Yeah. All right. General hotness.
Elizabeth, just some general hotness.
Yeah, okay. There you go. You can just say that from now. It's just general hotness. I think I turned red. On your website.
Are you flirting with me?
Yeah, I am flirting with, me. You know what? I am celebrating. I am so excited. We are celebrating our 17th year of marriage tomorrow.
Oh, mazel tov. That's so brilliant.
Isn't that
17
fun?
Years. Congratulations.
17 years. Yeah, we are just
so. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, yeah, no, we're all good. But, yeah, I love on your website you have a gift, and I wondered if you could talk about that, because that's I met him, and he's really cool.
Yes, so when you sign up for my Thought Revolution newsletter, we send you a free gift to say thank you. And what it is a conversation I had with Panache Desai. And Panache Desai, if you don't know him, is a spiritual leader, and he's been on Oprah. He's got a wonderful book out, and he came on my show, and we did a special recording just for people who subscribe to the Thought Revolution newsletter. And it's a conversation I think is worth everyone hearing, because it's a thought revolution about the ego. The ego, as we know, gets a bad rap. And Panache explains in this conversation we have why we should consider our egos our friends. And it's good because it puts everything into a perspective, because we are always blaming the ego and the ego is not our friend. And according to Panache, the ego is our friend. And it is a really interesting conversation that you get when you subscribe to the newsletter.
I love it. We have a question coming in from Twitter. And the question is, what advice do you have for someone sick? Someone who does not feel well. And I'm going to guess sick means ill health.
Well, first of all, I'm not a doctor, so not pretending to be giving any medical advice here. But I would say when I am sick, which doesn't happen very much, but I do believe my body knows what it's doing. So when I'm getting a cold or a sore throat or when I have become much more sick, I do acknowledge that my body is a powerful, powerful thing and it knows what it's doing. And I talk about my well-being in my own head. I don't talk, you know, you get people on Facebook or Twitter who start going on telling the whole world that they're sick today. Well, your mic is always on. You know, don't talk about being sick. If you want to be well, talk about wellness. And so I make a big point when I'm not feeling well to think about my well-being and wellness and how I cannot wait to be back on my feet and all the things I'm going to do and attract all the sort of energy that I need to get well. That's how I handle a lot of this sort of illness that might come my way. And see your doctor.
And see your doctor, absolutely. Okay, we have 4 minutes left. What do you think you're going to be like when you're 80?
I'm going to be happy.
I love that.
I'm
going to
be happy.
Like when we're 100? Go 100.
I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be one of those kooky old people that you see on the street where they might have gray hair and have lived a big life and it's on their face, but you're going to look at me and you're going to go, that is a happy guy. And he actually doesn't look 80. He looks 60 because he looks so happy. Because I think happy. Yeah.
Due to all the Botox he's had.
No, I think happy
Botox,
looks young.
Can't remember where you are.
Due to, now he looks like a Picasso. No, I think I'm going to be a happy, happy old man who's just got this like sort of little secret on his face and who feels like he's been living a really good life.
This show's sponsored by Botox. No, you have a year up on me too. I'm only 46 here, you know. We're gonna be like 81 and 80 going, where's the past the Botox?
No, I wanna be one of those people who just is you know those older people.
I know,
those older people that look so persnickety and like ew, and then there's those people that are just a joy to be around, and it's because they're happy. I want to be a happy old man.
I want to be like Betty White. I love her. What was
she
like?
Yes, it's a very good
my
example.
Idol. I mean, I just think she's so cool. What's Betty White like?
Oh, she's got a beautiful sense of humor. She's very genuine, and it's everything that we're talking about here. She is an appreciator. Everything and it doesn't mean she's a Pollyanna because she's got a mouth like a trucker if she wants to.
But she is just
so appreciative of all the blessings that she's had, of every moment. She's in on the joke as well, and I think that's a great example of someone who has a good stance on life, because you know she's been handed as many negative things as anybody listening right now has been handed. And she too has had thought revolutions about all of that stuff and decided that nothing is more important than her happiness and being happy in the moment. And so when I've talked to her on the phone, which is only once, I've talked to Rue McClanahan once too, who played Blanche, but both of them were very appreciative people. And I think that's the secret to life, is to appreciate.
All right, we have a minute left. Did I miss anything that you wanted to talk about? Is there anything?
No, I think we're good. I mean, I would invite anyone listening to go to Schoenfurter.ca. If you don't get SiriusXM, you can subscribe for $20 a year and hear all of the back episodes whenever you want. And everything else on the site is yours to enjoy, including the blog posts. And I just hope people visit it and find value in it and take a look at some of the old stuff that we've done. And there's a nice thing about sharing from your heart. You know, you're always reaching other people in the heart. And so I hope to touch anyone who's listening there as well.
Awesome. And where are you on Twitter?
I'm at Sean Prue on Twitter, at Sean Prue Show. And on Facebook, it's Official Sean Prue.
Got it. All right. Well, we thank you so much. I thank you so much for we all thank you so much, but I in particular thank you so much for being here. We finally got it going. And
this is the fastest hour of my life.
Isn't it wild? That went by so fast. I hope you come back.
Anytime. You say the word. Oh, it'll take 10 months of planning, but we'll do
months,
it.
But we'll get it. That's very funny. All right,
have
everybody.
Have a wonderful celebration with your husband.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening.
You.
And yeah, thank you. And make sure you check out Sean in all of his hotness at seanprue.ca. We're joking. You had to listen to the earlier part of the show to get that joke. But it's seanproulx.ca. And I hope you sign up for his newsletter, listen to his radio show, read all his blogs, and just follow him. He's a great guy. And it's been just a pleasure and a joy to have him on the show. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you again next week. All right, thanks, everybody. Take care.